God is good, amen? God is so good. Oh, cool. I never know if this is going to be here, but I've always wanted to drink out of the coveted glass of water. Oh, it's holy water. Delicious. Hey, God is so good, amen? He is alive, and I want to encourage you this morning that God does have a word for us. God is good. And I know I've been in church for a while, and I've been to hundreds of services, and I know that sometimes it can just seem like it's going to be another service. But I want to encourage you today to believe that today could be a day of breakthrough for you. Today could be the day that that thing that you've been praying about for years comes to pass. Today could be the day that God changes everything in your life. That thing that you've been waiting for, today could be the day. God is a good God. And I'm so thankful for the worship this morning that declared God is good. God is good all the time. Sometimes we face things that are not good, but God is always good. Sometimes we have situations that happen in our life that are not good, but God is always good. Don't judge God's character by your situation, but always judge your situation by God's character. When you look at that situation, know that God is good. God is going to bring me through. God is faithful. God gives me strength for every battle that I face. God is for me, and he's going to bring me to victory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. 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 God is so awesome. He loves you so much, and I just believe that some people need to hear that today, that God is good. You might be going through a difficulty right now, but God is always good. I had a friend when I was growing up, and their family, they loved to do puzzles. Anybody here do puzzles? God bless you guys. They loved to do puzzles, and they always had a puzzle on their coffee table in their living room. And so when people would go over to their house, they would always just chip away at the puzzle a little bit at a time. And there's always that one piece that seemed like it didn't fit anywhere. It was like, this must have just been an extra piece that fell in at the factory, or this was obviously a mistake because this piece doesn't fit anywhere. But then as you go on with the puzzle and things start to come together, all of a sudden, you realize that there is a place for that piece. That actually, without that piece, you wouldn't have the complete picture. And sometimes in our life, we have situations like that. Something happens, and we don't see how that could possibly work out for our good. We don't see how this situation could benefit us at all. It doesn't make sense in what we envisioned in our mind the picture of our life would look like. And we don't think that this should have happened or been a part of our life. But what's the problem? All the pieces aren't in place yet. So know today that if you're in that kind of situation, if something's happened, you're facing a difficulty, and you don't see how this could play out for your good, be encouraged that God does work all things together for our good. You just need some more pieces to come into place, and you're going to see how God makes a beautiful picture of your life. Amen? The final chapter of your life is written out, declaring that you finished the work. You lived out your destiny for God in this life. And I know that God is going to bring you there into victory in Jesus' name. Amen. That was all bonus. You get that for free. That was just burning in my heart. I love Jesus, and he loves you, and we're going to have a great day today. I'm so thankful for the worship. Are you guys thankful for our team that leads us in worship? We are so blessed, and they declare things over us, and we worship God, and God is in the house today. And God wants to change things today. And God wants to build us up today and encourage us, strengthen our faith. So let's stir up our faith today to believe God for big things. Oh, man, I better get started or I'm going to just keep on going. We're going to have a good day today. Well, I always like to start out with something funny. If you haven't heard me before, then just believe me, I'm hilarious. I always like to start out with something funny. And there was this pastor who died, and he's standing in line to get into heaven. And the line was pretty long. There was an angel at the front standing at a podium like this, and he was checking people in. And so the pastor's standing in line and getting to know the people around him, and he talks to the guy in front of him, and turns out he was a taxi driver. And so the taxi driver gets to the front of the line. He tells the angel his name. The angel looks him up on the list. He says, "Oh yeah, here you are." And he hands him a golden staff and a silk robe. Well, then the pastor gets up. He tells the angel his name. The angel looks for him on the list. He finds him. He said, "Oh yeah, here you are. Welcome to heaven." And he hands him a wooden staff and a cotton robe. The pastor said, "Hey, what gives? Don't you know that that guy was a taxi driver and I was a man of God? How come he got a golden staff and a silk robe, and I only got a wooden staff and a cotton robe?" The angel said, "Well, here in heaven, we're about results. And when you preached, people slept. But when he drove, people prayed." Amen. Praise the Lord. Hopefully we get some results today in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, open them up to John chapter 8, verse 32. I want to talk to you today under the title, "Who Do You Think You Are?" Would you look at the person on your left and on your right, right in the eyes, and ask them that question, "Who do you think you are?" Who do you think you are? John 8:32, it says this: "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you this morning that you are good to us. That you are a God who is for us. That you are with us today. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to all of us today in our individual situations, in our lives. Holy Spirit, come and speak to us. I pray, Lord, that every person in this room would be blessed by you today, that they would be encouraged and built up in faith today. And Father, that you would do an amazing thing in this place, just like you always do. If you agree, would you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. They will know the truth, and the truth will set them free. Now, the truth about the truth is that it's always the truth. But there's something about the truth that makes you free. It's not just that it's truth, because the truth is always there and it's always truth. But it's the believing of truth that activates it in our life. It's the believing of truth that works its power in our lives. What you believe is powerful. What you believe changes everything. If you can change what you believe, then you can change your whole life. Proverbs 4 says it this way. It says, "Guard your heart above all things, because out of it, everything that you do flows." Now, when it says that, do you think that it means like, watch your cholesterol above all things, because out of your heart everything flows? Or watch your salt intake, because out of your heart everything flows? Check your family history, because out of your heart everything flows? No, it's not talking literally about the organ here, but it's talking about your heart, your inner being. And I found a verse in Romans 10. It says, "It is with your heart that you believe." It is with your heart that you believe. So what is it saying? It's saying, guard the place where you believe from, because out of where you believe, everything that you do flows. Right? Out of what you believe, everything that you do flows. So I want to ask you again, who do you think you are? What do you believe about you? When what we believe lines up with God's truth, then we activate the power of God in that area of our lives. Faith is simply saying what God says about you and seeing what God sees in your situation. That's what faith is, believing what God says, believing what God is doing in your situation, believing that what he says is true about you and about your situation. Who do you think you are? And does who you think you are line up with what God thinks of you, of who he thinks you are? Does it line up with the truth of his word? That's what I want to talk to you about today. The truth of God's word about you. Because if we know the truth, then that truth can set us free. This is faith, believing what God says about us, believing what God says about the world around us, the situations that we face, to know that God is working on our behalf, to know that God is for us, like we sang this morning, to know that God is good. These things are basic, but if we don't believe those in every situation that we face, then we can operate out of truth, outside of truth. But if we want to see the truth bringing victory, freedom, faith, if we want to see the power of God moving, it comes through believing the truth about us, about our situations. So who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? When you look in the mirror in the morning, do you see all of your failings, all of your shortcomings, all of the disappointments, all of the times that you've messed up? Or do you see one who is redeemed by God, one who is favored by God? So I want to this morning encourage you to think about what you believe about you. And ask yourself, does that line up with what God says about me? And we're going to address a couple of topics this morning, and we have tons of time, so man, maybe we'll add some more in. Praise the Lord. We got at least 3 more hours, so hallelujah. And we're gonna talk about just a few things, but I want to encourage you, even though we're addressing a few things, to go out this week as you read your word, to see yourself in the word, to see who God says you are. You might say, well, Pastor Jacob, you don't know about me, though. It might say that about other people, but not about me. But no, the word of God, when it talks about God's people, it's talking about you. Amen. It's the truth about you. It's not just for other people, it's for you. Amen. So the first truth this morning, I am forgiven. Would you guys say that with me? I am forgiven. I believe that one of the most frequently used tools of the enemy in our lives is condemnation. It's when we make a mistake, when we fail, the enemy wants to come and say, you've done it this time. God is never going to accept you again. God was only merciful up until now, and now he's not anymore. And it's this condemnation that tries to separate us from coming to God. Right? Like Pastor Pat was saying this morning, God is calling us to come to him, even with our shortcomings, with our failings. He's calling us to come to him. Through Christ, you have become forgiven. There are many people who talk about God's unconditional love. And they'll tell all their friends, they'll tell people, God loves you unconditionally. And then as soon as they fail, as soon as they mess up, all of a sudden, God's love for them, in their mind, becomes contingent on their behavior. When all along they said God's love is unconditional. Well, I want to encourage you this morning that God's love really is unconditional. There is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. God loves you. The one who knows you completely, the God of the universe who created you, he knows the number of hairs on your head. He knows all of your mistakes you've ever made. He knows all of the flaws that you have. He knows everything about you. The God who knows you completely loves you completely. You are forgiven in Christ. Not only that, but you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The blood of Jesus cleanses you. If you are in Christ, you have been completely forgiven. I find it interesting that in Jesus' time, the people who felt most comfortable around Jesus were the sinners, the tax collectors, the prostitutes, all of those kinds of people. They felt very comfortable coming to Jesus, finding his mercy, his love. And then yet today, oftentimes, those of us who have been completely redeemed, Jesus has taken the full punishment of our sins so that we could come confidently before God, Scripture says, we find it difficult to come to God because of condemnation, because of guilt, and because of shame. And I want to encourage you today, if you have built up shame, if you have built up guilt, to release it to God. To release that to God today. To come to him. Don't be afraid to come to him and receive his forgiveness. See, God's forgiveness is for everyone, but you have to receive it. You have to come to him and receive that forgiveness. Check out this scripture. This is in Ephesians 1, 4 through 6. It says, he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. That's who you are. Holy and without blame before him in love. According to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace. So not only by the blood of Jesus have you become holy, forgiven, righteous in his sight, but that was his idea, and it was his good pleasure. God wanted to be close to you. It was God's idea to forgive you. Oftentimes people think, I need to talk God into forgiving me. I've really messed up this time. I really need to beg him. I need to work hard for his forgiveness. Forgetting that it was his idea all along to forgive you. He's the one who wants to do it more than we want it. He's the one who wants to be close to us, right? I think that a lot of times, I think it's human nature for us to want to pay for our sins, for when we fail, we want to make it up to God, and we end up putting all this pressure on ourselves. We punish ourselves for our sins. And then because of all the pressure we put on ourselves, we need some type of escape, and so then we fail again, and then we have more pressure, more guilt, more shame, and we end up in this never-ending cycle. And what's the solution? To know the truth about you, that you're forgiven, that your standing with him is holy and blameless in his love, according to his good pleasure of his will. And to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. So Christ has made us accepted. God has made us accepted in the beloved, which is Christ. Now, this word accepted here is the Greek word harashtao. Can you guys say that for me? No, I'm just kidding. Harashtao. And this word accepted is used only one other time in all of the New Testament. This word is used only two times in the entire New Testament. And the other time that is used is when the angel Gabriel showed up to Mary. And he said, Hail Mary, thou art highly favored. Thou art harashtao. In Christ, because of his grace, because of his sacrifice, God has put you on that same level with him. He says, you have been made harashtao, highly favored. You're not only accepted, but you are highly favored of God. When God looks at you, he says, you are highly favored. And then he even adds this, in the beloved. He could have said, in Christ Jesus, which is true. That's who he's talking about. But it's like he wanted to add it, in the beloved. You are in the beloved. I love you. You are in the one I love. You're one with the one I love. And it's like the picture, God is holding the one he loves, and he says to you, you are highly favored. I love you. Which brings me to my next truth. God is for me. Will you guys say that with me? God is for me. Not only through Christ's sacrifice were you brought out of the red, which was your debt of sin, but you were brought into the black, into the favor of God. As a child of God, you have all of the benefits. God is for you. You have the best benefit package ever, being a child of God. God is for you. God is on your side. Amen. Amen. I want to look at this other verse. This is a little smaller. I'll read it for you. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith. I want to take a little break here. With what we're talking about today, who do you think you are? In order to have our thinking, right, the way that we're transformed, it says in Romans 12, is by the renewing of our minds. And in order to renew our thinking, we have to find out the truth about us in the Word. And I want to encourage you, when you're reading the Word, when it talks about God's people, to know that it's talking about you. Right? Romans 5 right here, it says, therefore, having been justified by faith. So this right here, being justified by faith, that's talking about you in Christ. That's talking about you. So when you read that, you could say about yourself, I have been justified by faith. That's the truth about who you are. I have been justified by faith. And I have peace with God. That is the truth about you in Christ. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into the grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So this is your standing. We have access by faith. You, this is talking about you. This is who you are. You have access by faith into this grace in which you stand before God. So what can you expect when you wake up in the morning? More nagging from your boss. More negativity from your colleagues. More bad news. More disappointments. No. You can wake up in the morning confident. This is going to be a good day. I have hope. I am rejoicing in hope. I can expect good things from God because God is for me. I have this hope. And this word hope, this Greek word, it's not the same as the word that we often use. When we say, I hope something happens, it's, well, maybe it will, maybe it won't. But this word hope, the word that they used in the New Testament, it is a confident expectation of good. It's a confident expectation. It's not, well, maybe this is going to happen, maybe not. It's no, when I wake up in the morning, I have hope. I have hope. I know that God is on my side. I know that I have access to him through faith into his grace, and he's for me, and he's on my side, and I can confidently expect the goodness of God in my life. Amen? Amen. The goodness of God is on your life. And this is our standing, right? This is where we stand. It's your standing. Will everybody say standing? Standing. So there's your standing, and then there's your state. Everybody say state. This is your emotional state, your physical state. And oftentimes, we can get our standing mixed up with our state, right? Our state, sometimes we're angry, sometimes we're calm, sometimes we're happy, and sometimes we're sad. Some days we're really excited, and some days we don't care at all. Some days we're going to give to all the poor people in the world, and we're giving all our stuff away, and other days we're feeling like not giving a dime, right? That's our state. That changes all the time, our state. And I want to tell you this, don't judge your standing by your state, but always judge your state by your standing. In other words, might be somebody and they're having a horrible day, and somebody just really makes them mad, and they think in their mind, they think, oh man, I'd really like to punch that guy in the neck, or whatever, whatever they want to do. They get really angry. They have this angry thought, and then all of a sudden they remember, oh, I'm a Christian. And they think all of a sudden, wait a second, I just signed up to be an usher. And if somebody asks me to pray for them, I'm just going to have to tell them to come back tomorrow, because I am not, God doesn't love me today. I had this horrible thought. And that's what they think, right? But that's confusing your standing with your state. But that person standing in Christ before God is still that they are have access into his grace in which he stands, and it's hopeful. That's his standing, right? Don't judge your standing by your state, but always judge your state by your standing. I'm not excusing the state. I'm not saying just go around and have those bad attitudes and things. No, judge your state by your standing. Say, my standing is I am in the beloved. I am accepted in the beloved. I'm loved by God. I'm highly favored by God. God has forgiven me much. And so then I judge my state by that. I say, now I can forgive much in this situation. Dwell on who you are. You're standing in Christ. Know that you are strengthened in him, that you have strength for every battle, and then judge your state by that. And don't judge your standing with Christ by the state, because that's always changing. But you're standing before God is that you are righteous. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. God is for you. God is with you always. He never leaves you. He's on your side. Amen. Amen. I am preaching myself happy. Are you guys happy this morning? I'm happy. Jesus is alive. Amen. Amen. God is for you. God is for you. I actually have like my slides up here. I'm so proud of myself today. I am so just on top of it by God's grace. Amen. It is really by his grace. God loves you so much. All right, next one. I am valuable. Everybody say that with me. I am valuable. Now, I know that this one, it might be even difficult for some people to say that out loud. And I want to let you know that I'm not the one who declares that you're valuable. God is the one who has said that you're valuable. You have significance. You have importance. And I think that it's a shame that sometimes we can brush things off in the name of humility, right? God says that we're valuable, and in the name of wanting to be humble, we act like, no, we're really a nobody, but God said that you're somebody. Somebody might give you a compliment, and they say, hey, you're really good at this thing. Wow, you're really creative. And you say, oh, no, I'm not that creative, in the name of being humble. But God says, no, 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 you are creative. I made you great. I'm the one who gave you those gifts. You are valuable. You have significance. You have importance. There are things that I've gifted you with, opportunities that I've placed in your life that no one else can do. There are things that you're going to do with your life that no one else in the world can do. There are ways that you're going to give God glory in this earth that nobody else can, because God has designed you with purpose, and you are valuable. You are significant. You are important to God. Amen? David said it this way. He said, God, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. What was David saying? He said, God, you made me wonderful. You did a good job when you made me. Would you look at the person next to you and say, God did a good job when he made you? That's what David was saying. Some people think, well, that's pride. Well, it's in the scripture. God did a good job when he made you. You are wonderfully made. You are wonderfully made. I want to give you this truth. The grace of God humbles a man without degrading him, and exalts a man without inflating him. That's why you can speak these truths over your life. Because the grace of God that we talked about before, the grace that's on your life, it will keep you humble, but it won't degrade you, because you're still valuable to God. You're important. And it will exalt you, but it won't give you pride or puff you up or inflate you. That's the grace of God. You can say these things because it's the truth about you. You are valuable. You are important. You are who God says you are. God is for you. He is not against you. Amen. Amen. You know, the reason why this message is so important, I want to let you know that God is really on your side. Psychologists tell us that our self-image, the worth that we place on ourselves, is often based on our perception of how those who we love feel about us. And there are many people who may have had people speak things over your life. You might have heard things your whole life. You're worthless, you're stupid, you're no good. You might have even heard them, people tell them that about God, that God thinks that they're a nobody, that they're just one in the bunch. God is angry with them. He'll never accept them. But that's not true. The truth is that God always accepts you. God came to justify the ungodly. That's what Christ came to do. He didn't come to make the ungodly more ungodly. He didn't come to pick up the righteous, those who are blameless. He came to redeem sinners. And if we believe these things, the negative things that have been spoken over our lives, our whole life, we might miss out on the incredible purpose that God has written out for us. And if we believe the things that people have said, that God will never accept you, that you can't come to God, that God is not for you. If we believe those things, then we'll act on them. Because out of what you believe, everything flows. And you'll begin to distance yourself from God because you think that he's angry with you. You think that he'll never accept you. You think that he'll never forgive you. But the truth is that about you is that you're forgiven. That God is for you. You are accepted in the beloved in Christ. You're not just one of the billions of people on earth. You are one in a billion. when God made you, he broke the mold. He made you just the way that you are, and he likes you just the way that you are. You were designed with purpose. You were designed like no one else on earth. You have value, for the King of all kings has said that you have value. I'm going to ask Pastor Leon and the team to come up. And as I was preparing for this message, I just really felt that God wanted to encourage us in who we are in him. And I want to encourage you to really take a look at your thoughts about how God feels about you and your thoughts about yourself. And as I was praying this week, God led me to Romans 13, and I was reading through it, and I was like, okay, yeah, Lord, I'll submit to authority. And I'm like, why are you telling me this? And what did I do wrong? And, you know, that's that thinking. And I'm reading through Romans 13, and then all of a sudden it says, be therefore clothed in Christ. Be clothed in Christ. And I looked up that word clothed in the Greek. And what it meant, what it means, it's the same, it literally means to sink into a garment. It means to sink into a garment. It's the same word that's used when the prodigal son comes, when he comes home and the father says, put a robe on him. It's the same word when Jesus was talking about sending the Holy Spirit and he said, you will be clothed with power from on high. And that word is used here in Romans 13. It says, be clothed in Christ. Be clothed in Christ. Put on Christ as a garment. 1 John 4, it says it this way. It says, this is the confidence that we have in him. That as he is, so we are in this world. As Jesus is, so we are in this world. In that chapter that we read in the beginning, John chapter 8, he's talking to the religious people, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and they ask him that question. They say, who do you think you are? That's in the Bible. I didn't use that verse because it didn't make any sense. But they asked him that. Who do you think you are? And he said, if you knew my Father, you would know me. And he said, they got to talking about Abraham, and they said, listen, you're not even 50 years old. What do you mean Abraham saw your day? And Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Before Abraham was, I am. Now, I don't know that we always grasp the magnitude of that when Jesus said that, but I know that the religious people there, they did, because as soon as he said that, it says, at that, they picked up stones, and they were about to kill him, because what Jesus was declaring in that moment, he said, listen, I am the I am. He is the I am. Jesus knew who he was, the beloved in the Father. And it says in 1 John 4 that as he is, so you are right now. He's the I am in your life. He's not the I used to be, not the I used to forgive you, not the I used to be gracious toward you. He is today the I am. And as he is at the throne, the right hand of God, so are you today. Do you think in Jesus right now at the right hand of God has any guilt or shame before the Father? So are you in this world, forgiven. At the right hand of God, does Jesus have God's favor in his life? So are you in Christ. And I want to encourage you today to dwell on that, to know that that's who you are. You are in the Beloved. As he is, so are you. If you need to be more patient, dwell on Christ's patience. Begin to meditate on how patient he is toward you, and you'll begin to be like him, to believe that that's who you are. If you need to be more forgiving, meditate on Christ's forgiveness toward you, and you'll become more like him because that's who you are, being transformed into his image from glory to glory, from strength to strength, with ever-increasing glory. You are being transformed into his image. You are one with him. Who do you think you are? What do you think about you? God says, you're forgiven. You are my beloved. You are blessed. You are highly favored. You are mine. I hold you in the palm of my hand. You are a son. You are a daughter of the Most High King. That's who you are. You're victorious. You're an overcomer. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. Not based on your own works, in Christ. You're the righteousness of God. You're not the negative things who others have said you are. You're not even the negative thoughts that you've had about yourself. You're not the sum of your mistakes. And when you came into Christ, you became a new creation. The old you died of supernatural causes. Amen. I'll let that sink in. Somebody tweet that. You're not who you used to be. You're not who you once were. It's good news that you've become new, that you've been saved, that you've been redeemed, that God is on your side now, that God loves you with an unquenchable love, that he is for you. You have value in this life. God has declared it about you. You are so valuable to him that he sent his son. And that's who you are. You are who God says you are. You're who God says you are. You don't have to be, you don't have to live up to all the horrible things, anything that anybody's ever said about you. You just have to live up to what God has said about you because that's who you are. That is who you are. I think that music is so powerful. And I would just love, before we close, I have just one more thing to say. But before we close, I would just love if we just sang this song together. Pastor Leon is playing, and to just remind ourselves, let God remind you of who you are, of who he is to you. Can we just do the chorus?
I know that you are for me. I know that you are for me. I know that you will never forsake me in my weakness. I know that you have come now, even if to write upon my heart, to remind me of who.
God has come to remind us today of who he is, that he is the Redeemer. He is the one who forgives. He is the one who declares that you're his daughter, your son. He's the one who declares you righteous before him. He's the one who accepts you. That's who he is. He's the one who loved you first. Even while we were sinners, Christ died for us. That's how much he loved us, how much more that now that we're redeemed. How much more does he love us today? How much more do we have his favor today? And I would be remiss if I didn't give an opportunity today. If you've never received Jesus as your Savior, if you've never received this new life that we've been talking about, this new relationship with God of being forgiven, justified by faith, and you'd like to do that today, would you just slip up your hand? If there's anybody here, we'd just like to pray for you today. Is there anybody at all? You've never done that before. You'd like to receive Jesus? Amen. All right. Well, I'd like to end today on a note of declaration. Because the words that we speak bring life or death. The words that we speak are powerful. And I don't know, has anybody here ever had an ant farm? They don't grow anything. But it's like you put these ants in this thing and they begin to develop this colony. And it's like that with the words that we say. As we change the words that we say, it's like we're building a new colony of thoughts in our mind. It takes a new shape, takes new routes. And the words that we say begin to affect the way that we think. And I want to encourage you with this, to never say anything negative about yourself, but to speak words of faith that God says about you. And so we're gonna make some declarations today that declare these truths about who we are. And so I'd like for you all to stand with me. And this is how we're going to end today. You just say what I'm saying, and just say it like you mean it. Say it like you know that it's true about you, okay? All right, let's do it. I am the righteousness of God.
I am the righteousness of God.
I am loved by God.
I am loved by God.
I am blessed.
I am blessed.
I am anointed.
I am anointed.
I am strong.
I am disciplined.
I am valuable.
I am healthy.
I am attractive.
I am prosperous.
I am talented.
I am intelligent.
I am victorious.
I'm excited about my future.
I am who God says I am. Amen. Give the Lord a hand. You are who God says you are. God bless you this week. Thanks for coming out today. I pray that God would bless you in all that you do. And this week, you would go out in the victory of God, knowing that you are who He says you are. Amen.